Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
FM News Talk 97.1.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what you're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride. All
right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, come on. Turn the radio on a Saturday and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong. I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
Goodness sake, kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Happy Monday to you. I'm keeping my eye on the president in the White House right now is supposed to be speaking soon, and we will listen in on that and bring it to you. Oftentimes, they'll say, oh, the president's going to speak, and then he spends 10 minutes thanking everybody in the room and acknowledging people, and then he might say something that relates to the Iran sanctions. He signed an executive order today and is going to increase, in his words, hard-hitting sanctions that are strong and proportionate to the attacks that the United States experienced last week on the drone and also the allied ships that have also suffered from attacks from Iran. So we are going to be watching that, and we will bring any information from this speaking engagement of the president to you as it happens. So stick with us on that. I was talking earlier about my weekend. You all know that last week, if you were listening Friday, super excited to attend the baseball game on Friday night, the St. Louis Cardinals baseball game, because Albert Pujols was coming back to town. And as you know, if you listened Friday at about 2 p.m., my husband informed me that he put our tickets through the washing machine. So we went through this whole process of getting the tickets replaced. All was fair and fine and good in the end. And we managed to walk in the stadium essentially as Albert Pujols' name was being announced. And I was so very glad that I got to be there. Joining us now is a friend of mine, also the founder of STL Baseball Weekly, Brian Stull. Brian, thank you so much for making some time with us today to come on and talk about this amazing weekend in St. Louis.
Well, Annie, it is my pleasure, and I am so glad. I was holding my breath when you said that the tickets went through the watch. I'm glad everything worked out, and you were able to get in there for the festivity.
Let's talk about the breath that my husband was holding in the midst of that time. Yeah,
every on the couch a long time after that.
All's well that ends well, for sure. So, like I said, I managed to walk in, basically, as John Hewlett was saying, Albert Pujols, and boy, was it an awesome, like, tangible experience to be there and watch him and watch Yachty and Albert hug there at home plate and all of the things that went into giving Albert as much time as possible to enjoy that moment. And that just happened again and again and again as he took each at bat over the course of the weekend. What was it like to cover Albert Pujols in sports while he was here and then again 8 years later when he returned?
Wow. You know what? It was, let me put it this weekend was very familiar in a lot of regards. I mean, the ovations weren't familiar. I mean, that was just crazy. It was surreal to see, even last night, when Albert came up with the bases loaded, the Cardinals are trailing, and you've got, 46,000 people on their feet chanting for Albert, wanting to see a grand slam at the expense of their team. It was surreal. And what makes it even crazier is everybody understood and was okay with it. I mean, it was the Cardinals wanted to win all the games this weekend, but, Dakota Hudson, who had his consecutive inning streak of, I think, like 53 innings broken up when Pujols hit the home run, Dakota was like, I had an Albert Pujols poster on my wall. And so, it was everybody, again, wanted to win and do well, but this was one of those special moments that, Albert downplayed it. But the reality was it was bigger than the game. This weekend was bigger for Albert and his family and Cardinal fans and the organizations and the community and everything else. So from that regard, it was different than when he was here, because the excellence, the greatness that we saw out of Albert Pujols, the way that he went about his work, very workmanlike, he can kind of considered the ballpark his office. That part was all familiar, but the reception was very different this time. But, you know, Albert, I would say, is one of the more focused individuals you'll ever run into. I mean, kind of similar in other walks of business that people probably run into. You know, again, Albert has a routine. That was something that he talked about this week and apologizing for disrupting the routine for all of the other players. But he always had a routine that he went through in terms of his preparation, both physically and mentally. And that was something that I think everybody kind of appreciated. But, you know, we also saw the Albert off the field, who is one of the most charismatic individuals that you can meet and cares so much about people and especially kids. And one of the coolest moments I thought of this whole weekend was yesterday. The Angels got to take batting practice outside, which did not happen on Friday or Saturday. So fans that were in there early were watching Albert take batting practice, and he worked the crowd, you know, the people that were behind the ropes, signed autographs there. But then he recognized one of his friends, you know, I believe a young lady he knew through the Pujols Family Foundation, and she had a big sign-up for him, and Albert walked into the green seats and started signing autographs.
Wow, yeah.
I mean, it was just getting kind of goosebumps talking about it now, but it was just moment after moment after moment like that this entire weekend. That's a little different than where it was before. You know, I mean, postseason he had his great moments, but it was more workmanlike, and Albert was all about business when he was here before. He was able to relax and really enjoy and feel the appreciation this weekend.
You know, you get to see, and I always, every time I see you, so I worked with Brian Stull back in my KFNS, my sports talk days, which lasted about 3 years of my storied radio career of about 12, 13 years so far. And, you know, you've been covering, especially baseball, from a very up close and personal place, which is why I value seeing you. Every time I see a press briefing, I'm like, oh, there's Stully. I saw you in there asking Albert questions after the game and several times this weekend. And you get, you know, we all see the clips that come out of there. Is he available to answer these questions? Do you guys know what he's going to say when you ask him these questions? Do you feel as though his responses are genuine? It feels that way from the viewer standpoint.
Yeah, I think Albert is very genuine when he speaks, you know, of what St. Louis and the Cardinals and the fans of the community, what that means to him. I think there was some anticipation of kind of how this weekend would go. You know, if even after Albert left, I've had the occasion to speak with him a couple of times, and you know, again, he's remained consistent. That's one thing that, you know, and Albert said he understood some of the hurt feelings from when he left, but it was business. And at the time, if you'll recall, he said, look, my family's going to keep a home here. My foundation is going to stay here. I'm just going to work out west, as he calls it. And that's the truth. I mean, the foundation has actually grown and had a more national presence that has developed here over the last few years. And, you know, Albert's still been here. Is he is here quite as much as he was when he played? No, but he still has been here. And it is genuine. So I think, you know, we kind of had an idea that, you know, you bring some things up, like, you know, he talked about how Lou Brock had helped him on the bases before running, and, you know, had heard that story before, and there were a couple things where he thought, oh, okay, I bet he'll probably touch on this, and he did, but the fact of the matter is he's touching on that because Lou Brock genuinely means that much to Albert Pujols. When he talked about, you know, Albert teared up when he started to mention Daryl Kyle.
Wow.
You yeah. know, what sort of impact that DK had on him, and Jim Edmonds and Mark McGwire and Edgar Renteria, and he starts going through these names, and that emotion between Yadi and Albert Pujols. Did they plan to exchange the jerseys? Yes, they did. But that is a genuine, you know, brotherhood that they share, their families, that they, I mean, they are tight. So, you know, you have an idea when you ask a question of how you think Albert might answer it, but at the same time, you know, you want to hear it from him, and, you know, I felt he kind of let the guard down a little bit and was really letting people hear what he was feeling. You know, I asked him if there was any pressure at all. I mean, when, you know, everybody's wanting to see those big moments this weekend, and obviously he's been on the big stage before. But he said, hey, you know, let's do it again tomorrow. He just had fun. He told himself he was going to come in and have fun. And I'll tell you what, that I know you were dealing with traffic and getting downtown because of the laundry incident. But
yeah.
The very first ovation that Albert received, do you know when that was?
When was it? When he was announced?
No, it was about an hour before that when he stepped on the field to play catch for pregame warmups.
We didn't have the luxury of getting there early enough to even see the starting lineups being announced because there was a swarm of people surrounding the stadium. There was such a buzz. It was electric to be surrounded by all these people who, you know, there was a romanticism about what was taking place in St. Louis, at least on Friday night. And I know for each individual person who came out there over the course of the weekend, it was the same. What do you think is going to happen, you know, post Albert Pujols' retirement in baseball? He has a long relationship contracted with the Angels, but his home is here. What's the future look like for Albert Pujols and St. Louis Cardinals?
Well, I 100% believe that he's going to wear a red jacket and number 5 is going to be retired in St. Louis.
Yeah.
So they, you know, I don't know how they handle things with the Angels, and I'm sure they'll honor him as well. You know, pretty certain that Artie Moreno, when he signed Albert Pujols, especially with that extended personal services contract, he was looking at some of those post-playing opportunities. But from the way it sounds, and even, you know, Albert kind of touching about, you know, that he'd like to wear that red jacket down the road, it doesn't look like there's going to be any sort of bumps in that happening, any sort of hitches there.
Mm-hmm.
In terms of Cooperstown, that topic was brought up, and you know, Albert said that's down the road. He wasn't going to talk about that while he was still playing. I wouldn't be shocked if he followed the route of Tony La Russa, who went in without a logo on his hat. That being said, I mean, I'd lose track of the amount of times that Albert this weekend talked about the best fans in baseball.
For sure. That kept Kim, I was thinking, as an Angels fan, do you hear that and think, hey, excuse me, or do they not really care?
Well, see, that's, I kind of wonder if they even paid attention, because I got the feeling that, you know, as he reached milestone after milestone after milestone, yes, the Angels organization certainly promoted it, but it sure seemed like there was a lot more excitement in Cardinals Nation than there was in Angels Nation for it. And the other thing, too, is the way that the current, I don't want to say bylaws, but the way that the guidelines are now for the Hall of Fame, the logo that a player goes in with, it's supposed to be based on the biggest impact of their career, what organization they, you know, acquired the most stats with, the most meaningful stats with. And without question, that was with St. Louis, the first 11 seasons of Albert Pujols' career. He's reached milestones with the Angels, but, you know, 80% of that path was basically carved out here in St. Louis. So from that standpoint, and the way he spoke so glowingly about the fans in St. Louis this weekend, I don't know, maybe he will just go ahead and go with that STL, and it won't even be a hard decision.
Well, as I said, it was a romantic weekend for St. Louis and Albert Pujols, and I don't know if we'll get to witness that again, but it was awesome to take in, even if you had to figure out how to get your tickets replaced from the washing machine in the process. But I know that watching you cover this as well was fun to see those questions getting answered. I want to encourage everyone to go to stlbaseballweekly.com to see the awesome coverage that you're doing on the regular for this St. Louis Cardinals team. Brian Stull, thank you so much for giving us some time today. It's a pleasure to speak with you.
Hey, great to catch up with you again, my friend. I love what you're doing over there, and thanks for having me on today. I enjoyed it.
You bet. We'll do it again soon. Brian Stull with St. Louis Baseball Weekly, online at stlbaseballweekly.com. Recapping his weekend with Albert Pujols and the St. Louis Cardinals getting together, he got to be, you know, the guy with the microphone standing in front of Albert Pujols each day. When every day it was like, yeah, I saw this mini story of Mike Trout saying, this is to Albert Pujols, this is crazy. These fans, this is like playoff baseball. And Albert's response was, I did this for 11 years, man. Welcome to St. Louis. Welcome back to St. Louis, Albert. When we come back, we're going to find out what the president is speaking about at the White House. We'll have that update for you as soon as we return. He announced the executive order levying heavier sanctions on Iran in the wake of last week's attack on that drone. So what did the president have to say today from the White House just moments ago? We'll have that for you as soon as we return.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
She was a red hot.
I'm Bernie Sanders. I'm running for president.
She was the roughest, toughest rail. But Minnie had a heart as big as a hay whale. Howdy, howdy, ho.
Howdy, howdy, ho.
Howdy, howdy, ho. Welcome back. Katie was listening to President Trump speaking from the White House. And not a lot of
going on. There he did spend about 5 minutes thanking everyone, which is very polite.
Well, he is a very gracious man. Very, very kind and generous.
I appreciate it. I get it, but I'm also like, wait, can we speed it up a little bit?
If you're playing What the Heck Just Happened, bingo, here's John Brennan.
And I've been a very tough critic of the Trump administration's policy toward Iran in terms of pulling out of the Iranian nuclear agreement, as well as this policy of economic strangulation, believing that Iran is going to go to his knees. But I do applaud Trump's decision not to carry out what would have been a disproportionate strike that would have led to about 150 or so fatalities, and that could have had a very dangerous escalatory spiral following it that could have brought that region to greater military conflict.
Excuse me, John Brennan?
What?
He sure isn't making it seem like the president is going to bumble us into a war.
The president may not intend to go to war here, but we're worried that he and the administration may bumble into a war.
Maybe if he got together with John Brennan, they could like buddy up and equal each other out and even out their frustration and worry that the president is so clueless in what he's doing that there will be bumbling.
Stumbling and bumbling.
I can't help but wonder if the president calling off that strike 10 minutes beforehand was a really valuable story for the president to have told.
Hmm.
If the idea that the president, that Donald Trump was the guy who said, no, we're not going to strike. If President Trump was the guy who put himself in a position to take the heat for not launching that military strike and, you know, 150 people losing their lives, which is the number he was given. If that was not a very valuable thing for him in negotiations going forward, the fact that, I mean, they don't need me to know that, but if I know it, everybody knows it. So I don't think it's bumbly. I think the president, if there's one thing that I think we can agree upon, well, maybe you and me on the side. But if there's one thing that I think we've seen the president do, it's negotiate deals from a position of strength, putting himself in a position where he is not being forced. What am I missing here? Is there a deal this president has been forced into signing? Or how many times has he put his foot down and say, here's how we're going to negotiate and here's how we're not going to negotiate? And then the other side says, we're not negotiating that way. He says, fine, peace. Here's a tariff. Here's, you know, for instance, the deportation of these immigrants. We had JJ Carafano in studio and he said, he's the one who brought it up. He's like, I want to talk about this mass deportation that the president said he's going to engage in. And I said, well, what do you know about it? He said, these are people who have gone through the whole system post all the processing that these immigrants who don't come here through legal means. These are people who have been processed and have been given court dates and had their day in front of a judge and have been given every opportunity to comply to the system or to be shown the way to meet the process so they can stay in here. And they haven't done it. This is nobody is going to get a knock on the door from Homeland Security or whoever it is that actually makes that, if it's ICE, and say, you're out of here. Who's not going to know that that day was coming very soon. President Trump said, we're going to go get those individuals, the people who know that this is coming because they've gone through the process and it's time for them to meet the expectations of our legal system as it is set up, the laws that were set up before Trump got here. Those are the people we're talking about. There's no thief in the night situation here that the president is referring to. The president says, yep, we're doing it. That's the conversation we had with Hans and Jim Carafano in studio on Thursday. And then we find out right after that that the president has said, I'll postpone that for 2 weeks. And in 2 weeks, we're going to do this unless you guys can get some legislation on the books that's going to change the situation for our country and illegal immigration. So the president is once again, I mean, this is almost becoming an MO for him. He's willing to make a stern and staunch decision, put it in place, put it in motion, and say, this is what we're going to do. Unless something going to, and then he says on the side, unless something changes, and by the way, you have the power to change that, this is what I will do. Tariffs on Mexico, tariffs on China, conversations that he's had with Kim Jong-un in North Korea, conversations he's having right now with Iran, sanctions. He puts high stakes on things he has control over, and he says, this is how it is unless you want it to be differently. And so then the next question, obviously, from the other side is, well, what do we got to do? Mexico says, what do we got to do? Well, you got to help us not allow people to, you know, come in here and claim asylum and then stay in our country. We want people to stay in Mexico, and in Mexico, if they're Mexican refugees, which most of them aren't. They're from other countries and they trek through Mexico. So if you would enforce your southern border more carefully, we could enforce our southern border more carefully. Mexico, we need you to step up and help us in this process. All right, let's talk. It took a weekend. A weekend. Would it be good for the United States for tariffs to go on Mexican goods? Economically, no, but if it helps our immigration problem, then yes. So the president makes these bold statements. They're heavy-handed. This is what leadership looks like, folks. He's willing to do things that are going to be unpopular because the greater good will be served in doing so. He's not checking poll numbers with every decision that he makes. I assume not, because his poll numbers, from time to time, suck. People are espousing all of these polls about how Joe Biden beats Trump by 20 points. I made that up. But there's probably a poll out there that says that. Am I supposed to be on June 24th in 2019 freaking out because Joe Biden is beating him? I don't care if he's beating him in checkers. It doesn't make me any difference. It doesn't make anybody any difference. Donald Trump was losing in all of the polls except for the one where the American people actually got to vote, and that was the only poll that mattered. And yes, the Electoral College has some bearing on who becomes the president, fortunately. I don't want to see it happen, but what an experiment it would be to see the Democratic nominee get the electoral vote and Trump get the popular vote. What that
heads
would look like.
Roll.
I would just be like, you know, the emojis of people eating popcorn, like,
yeah.
Or not emojis, GIFs or GIFs. Mm-hmm. That'd be me. I don't even like popcorn.
Same.
Tony, I told you what I did this weekend. Did I tell you?
You didn't tell me. You didn't tell me.
If I didn't tell you, it didn't happen.
I'm offended.
I saw Toy Story 4.
What?
Like good or bad?
Really well done.
You had a
really good movie.
You seem to have had a really tough...
You got to see it. I'm still like reacting from it emotionally.
Really?
Very rough experience, it seems.
Kids loved it. My husband loved it. I loved it. But if you would have gone to Toy Story 3 and walked out, wouldn't you be like, oh, that was rough. Like, the ending in Toy Story 3 is heavy.
Mm-hmm.
When Andy sits down on the lawn and hands over his toys to Bonnie.
Awesome.
As a parent, I'm like,
no.
Yeah, it's just really, it's hard. I don't know that, like.
But a perfect ending.
Oh, yeah.
Did they wrap it up, or is there going to be a Toy Story 5?
Oh, I mean, probably. But that's what when we said is Toy Story. Wow, you said it was the perfect ending.
It was. Toy Story 3 was like the perfect way to wrap up the.
Great. This was a movie that absolutely had its own place to be made. I didn't feel like it was a squeeze to get $63 for my family of five to go see that movie.
Ayah. What?
$63. Is
and
that cheap?
And that's without a bite to eat or a
just
drink
a
of soda.
Yeah.
It?
Yeah. We got a drink and some popcorn. And
oh, that's included in there?
No.
Okay. I was going to say.
I didn't even ask. My husband waited in line
that's
for that.
That's a lot.
Yeah, that's a
too
lot.
Much.
That's a lot.
That's too much.
I don't regret spending the $63 on it. I
no,
will say that. Like,
I'm not
no,
saying that. I'm
no,
just saying it's.
I'm saying.
Movie ticket prices are ridiculous.
As a review of the movie, I'm glad I spent
a stupid amount of money to see that. Like, I don't, I'm not like, because there are a lot of movies that I have seen where I'm like, I'm not spending 63 bones on that.
I think movies used to be, I think the way that we look at going to the movies is different than it used to be.
Is it worth it?
I think it used to be like a, considered to be a cheaper, like, night out, like kind of a date, like a date night or a
night throwaway, out. Not a throwaway, but kind of a last minute, something to do that's better than nothing.
Yeah, on the more cheap, not fancy, you know, inexpensive side. And now it's more like a big night out.
It is.
Because it's so much more expensive.
And you can sit in recliners.
That's it, yeah. They have people that come and wait on you, and you can order full-blown meals in a recliner. I mean, it is.
I didn't get that for $63, though.
Yeah.
Because that theater was booked up. And I also hesitate on putting my three-year-old, who I just paid $12 to go see a movie in a recliner, knowing that she's probably going to fall asleep. I'm like, you wake up! Emily.
I'm happy that you said that Toy Story 4 was not just something that they're just trying to wring money with.
It wasn't. It was. It's a standalone movie. It holds up for sure.
That's cool.
But in the same way that Toy Story 3 at the end has you going, oh, you're killing me here. You're glad you saw it. And Toy Story 4, you will go see that and you will be glad you saw it. My kids were rolling, laughing at it. The characters are great.
Classic.
And it hits you in a way that you were not prepared to be hit. Almost from the get-go, I will also add. Anyway, go see Toy Story 4. I need AMC. Can somebody from AMC who's listening right now sponsor the show so I can afford to show my children at least one more movie this year? I downloaded the app on my phone. I usually just did it through the browser on my phone. I downloaded the app. So naturally, now my phone knows everything about me in the AMC category. I got an ad in my Facebook feed for AMC, and it's like, just want to remind you about $5 Tuesdays. I'm like, $5 Tuesdays?
Mm-hmm.
That was no $5 Sunday. I'll tell you that much.
Yeah.
But it was worth it. And if you have the opportunity to go see it, I would highly suggest that you do. You will not be disappointed. It is vintage Disney at its best. I'm going to take a quick break so I can get to some of these phone calls here that are holding right now. We have a couple lines open, but you can join us for the rest of the show. 314-241-9797. 314-241-9797. We will take your phone calls when we return. And also want to remind you about the Dave Glover Show, which comes on right after us. They're going to speak with Bill O'Reilly at 5:10, I believe, today. You're going to want to hear that for sure. Back in a second.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You're listening to The Annie Fry Show.
York.
We will be in New York tomorrow at this time.
Freaky.
are we sure that these people are okay with with this? I've checked into the flight, and are you really going to let us go do this?
Here we go.
Kind of blows my mind. So here's how the rest of this week is going on, and I'm going to get to some phone calls here in a second. If you want to join us to talk about President Trump and putting those new sanctions on Iran, if you want to talk about Bernie Sanders paying for everybody's, he's going to take charge of the government and then make everything free with the government's money, which when he gets there, he's going to have a rude awakening to find out where the government gets its money from.
You.
So if you want to talk about that, give us a call at 314-241-9797. But we are headed to New York City tomorrow morning. And the way this works is on Wednesday, the reason we're going is because we won an award for the show. It's called Gracie. And we won for a non-morning drive.
Large market.
Yes.
Host.
Yes. So we are going to be celebrating that Wednesday, go to the luncheon and get our award that we're going to have. I saw that you can buy additional awards, like if you want to display, like if I wanted to display one here, but at home, I can buy an additional award for the low cost of like $450. I'm like,
perfect.
I'll just take it with me wherever I go.
Right.
So we're going to do that. So the purpose of this trip,
The reason we're going to New York City is to accept this award on Wednesday. And we are going to have Facebook Lives and pictures and YouTube videos and all this type of stuff available for you. So we are going to try to bring you to New York City with us as much as we possibly can.
Mm-hmm.
So here are the places that you can connect with us. Our Facebook page is facebook.com/AnnieFryShow. We're going to be putting a lot of things up on our show blog. So if you're not a social media person, totally understand that. Just go to 971talk.com/Annie. Go straight there. We will put so much stuff up there that we will also be sharing to our Facebook page. So Facebook is kind of like where the connections meet. The content and you, we know that you're on Facebook, so we put it there. But it's also going to all be at 971talk.com/Annie. So we want you to follow us there on the Facebook page, follow us on the blog, and then also you can go to our YouTube page. It's just if you find Annie Fry Show on YouTube or Annie Fry, you'll see my picture there and subscribe to us on YouTube. We'll share this information. Actually, it's available for you at 971talk.com/Annie right now. We'll pin that post to the top of the Facebook page so you can follow along. And I think you're going to have fun. And if you've got suggestions for us, you can tweet them at us at Annie Fry Show. And we are basically just going to do what we can do in New York City.
Winging it.
Yes.
We have a plan.
It's a vague plan. I think all three of us, Katie, myself, and then my husband is going along as well. I think all three of us are kind of like, let's do what we can do and let's just not stress out about it.
That is number one. I am like, anything before a trip, I'm that kind of person that gets just like a little bit of anxiety, that little bit of a pit in my stomach, no matter what trip I'm going on. Mm-hmm. And this one, I'm like, we have what we need to have planned out. And everything else, we're just going to have a good time.
It's just all icing.
Because this is an opportunity, an amazing opportunity.
Yeah.
I can't believe we have the chance to take it.
Yeah. So Wednesday we accept the award. It's a luncheon. It's going to be like a 2 or 3 hour commitment, late morning, early afternoon. But then we have Wednesday morning and Wednesday evening to do New York. And then Thursday, we are going to be broadcasting live from the Fox News headquarters, like the Fox News that you watch on the TV. We are going to get a studio there. It might be like a coat closet that they give us a microphone. And we're like, here, sit in here. I'll be like, okay, thank you.
Great.
And so we're going to do the show live from New York City, noon to 3 here on 97.1, just like you hear us all the other time. You might not even be able to tell that we're in New York. We're just going to do a show for you.
Mm-hmm.
But we're going to have some cool in-studio guests. Tuesday and Wednesday and Friday, Tim Jones is going to be in here filling in for us. And depending on our day and our schedule, we might pop in from time to time if it works. I don't know.
Tell everybody about our adventures.
Yeah. And what we experienced there in New York. And we'll be back Friday evening. So we're going to be in and out of your lives here at noon to 3 for the next few days. But we really want to take you with us. So make sure you connect to us on social media. We're almost over 7,500 likes on the Facebook page. So if you haven't done that yet, come on
over. Let's push it.
We've been talking about the president's sanctions on Iran, that he signed his executive order to increase those sanctions. We've also been talking about Bernie Sanders and his, like, what did I see? I think the number that's sticking in my head is like $1.6 trillion.
Correct.
$1.6 trillion expenditure for canceling student loan debt. He's just going to make that happen. I would like to know how he's going to make that happen without having to tax me for it, because my college education has already been paid for. I don't need anybody else to come and pay for the college education that I had. So do I get a benefit because I'm not asking anybody to do that? Or if people are paying off my husband's student loans, are we going to get a benefit for the 50% of those that we've already paid off? How does this work? How is this fair and equitable? Because that's what these progressives are definitely supposed to be for. So 314-241-9797 if you want to join us. Laura, thanks for calling the show.
Hi.
Hi, Laura.
Hi. I just had a comment about that free college. A way to get free college is those that join the military have that option to get their college paid for.
Absolutely.
With years of service.
Yeah, and you know, you give something there significantly, and you get something in return. You're not just showing up asking for some sort of handout. That there's definitely something sacrificed there for what you get in return, and it's a great way to do it.
Right, and that's an incentive. So if everybody has that option to get free college, then where's the incentive to go into the military?
For sure. Thank you for the call, Laura. I appreciate it. She makes a good point. There are ways to have this type of a benefit given to you by giving of yourself first. And it's a good way. I know I have several friends who went to school based on GI Bill type of things. I think it's probably the best way. Do you have a lot of friends who are paying student loans right now?
Yes.
Is it how, like, what yeah. percentage of anxiety that exists, at least on a financial basis for your friends, is due to student loans?
I would say the student loans are, they don't take precedence over rent or a mortgage or utilities or a car payment. So
do they think it's unfair? Is there a sense of, like, this student loan payment that I have to make every month is somehow unfair?
No. I think all of my friends, to my knowledge, know what they signed up for because you have to. At the same time, I think that my generation is suffering under student loan debt, and that colleges, like Stephen Moore brought up, there's got to be a way that they shouldn't, that they don't have to be outrageous anymore, that we could possibly cut it in half. But all of my friends, including myself, know what we signed up for when we went to, in my case, the University of Central Missouri.
Mm-hmm.
So they're not just like, oh my gosh, I'm dragging my feet. I can't buy anything. I can't buy groceries because of it.
I wish that the conversation would be shifted from, there's a bill that is due and people don't like to pay that bill, to inflating the cost of education so incredibly, where that income that the university is having is going to these extremely large salaries. We want to talk about the large salaries of business people all the time. Who's out there criticizing the large salaries that these professors are making, and the people that are in the administration portion of that industry are making, and on a public dollar? If we're talking private universities, charge whatever you want, and if people are willing to pay for it, fine. It's like, did I talk to you about the Disneyland has this Galaxy's Edge, which is the new Star Wars land that's open in Disneyland? They're opening one in late August in Disney World. They have an R2-D2 model that you can buy that costs $25,000. And they've sold some of them.
Oh, my.
And I'm like, if you're going to set out this $25,000 thing and someone's going to walk by and say, yeah, I'll have that, why wouldn't you set one out? Like, people are like, that's disgusting. That's awful. I'm like, nobody's being forced to spend $25,000 on a mini robot from a movie. And if somebody is able to do that, what does it hurt you?
Mm-hmm.
So to me, it's just like Disney saying, I wonder what we could get people to do. And they put it out and then they get it there. That's kind of what the free market does. Mm-hmm. It says anything is valued truly based on what somebody is willing to pay for it.
And my age group was the first to experience something like an A-plus program. And we were kind of the first generation that started to talk about trade schools. So there were other options on the table. So all of the kids that are complaining about student loan debt, there were other avenues that we could have taken.
And I also look at how you're about 10 years younger than me. So we're technically the same generation, but I think that the digital age is going to increase the turnover in generations, the span with which a generation is calculated, just because of how things change and advance so much. But, you know, I talked to Corey Malone at Air Comfort Service, and he talks about how he's like, if you've got a career in HVAC behind you or ahead of you, come see me. If you want to work, I can work with you.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a very important thing for people to understand. You can make such a good living and not have to invest tens of thousands of dollars to the tune of potentially six figures into a college education that's going to provide you a $50,000 a year job. You can go to a trade school and be making really good money in the amount of time that you'd be out of university with no debt and income already coming in. It's our job to prop up these very important careers that exist in our community and celebrate them and encourage people to go into them. So that's my soapbox. I got to go to New York. I'll be right back.
I got to bounce.
This thing's really happening. Tim Jones is going to be in studio for me tomorrow and Wednesday. We will be back on Thursday. So stick with Tim and see us again on Thursday. Make sure you subscribe to the YouTube channel. Go to 971talk.com/Annie. Follow our trip there, and especially that Facebook page. Go give us a like there as well. We are so excited for this trip, and this trip is really based on you, the listener. I'm grateful for you to put me in a position to be able to go accept this award. So thank you. Thank you so much. Stay tuned for the Dave Glover Show. They've got Bill O'Reilly on today. Holy cow. Stay tuned.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.